From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For the country band Little Big Town, this Sunday's Grammy Awards have been a long time coming. The quartet formed in Nashville in 1998 and quickly landed a record deal. But they lost it when their first album failed commercially and critically. The group endured humiliating reviews, 2 divorces, and rejection up and down Music Row. Then an independent label offered them 2 things that are rare in the country music business, a second chance and control of their own music. Nashville Public Radio's Craig Habekhurst has their story.
For a brief time, the 2 men and 2 women who formed Little Big Town thought they were going to have it easy breaking into country music. They auditioned for 6 Nashville record labels and got nearly as many offers. One big-time executive ran out into the street after they'd left their audition and said he'd sign them on the spot.
We thought we were on our way.
Yeah. Wow, we paid our dues for 3 months.
Band members Jimmy Westbrook and Karen Fairchild joke about it now, but what followed wasn't funny at all. The quartet wound up on Sony Nashville, the modern-day manifestation of what had been Columbia Records, home to Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, and in more recent years, the Dixie Chicks. All of those artists had battled the record company for control over their own sound and image. Little Big Town was too new to the business to know when or how to fight, says singer Kimberly Rhodes.
I don't think it was purposeful, but major labels are used to a system, and if it works, that they just keep doing it.
It was, I think, more of a, you know, the downside of anything that's done by a larger committee.
Karen Fairchild.
You have so many people looking over your shoulder, and you start to really second-guess yourself, and out comes something that's kind of homogenized.
Unfortunately, what happens at record companies is there's a tendency to want to sand off rough edges.
Mike Kraske, a former marketing executive at Sony who helped sign Little Big Town, says songs like From This Dream didn't showcase the quartet's strengths.
And what you end up on the other side of that is something that's not true to the artist. And I think that was more the case than anything at Sony. There were folks in A&R who had a vision that was much more pop-leaning than the vision of the act. And I think that's what came through musically.
Rhodes and Fairchild say that even though they knew the album wasn't exactly what they'd set out to make, the critics' reaction was a major blow.
The reviews were very personal and very ugly. They were just rude. Some of the people who wrote reviews about us just, you know, cut us very deep.
People question us. Are they really from the South? Who put them together? What producer, you know, made them?
And that was from
they picked 2 blondes and 2 brunettes to be in a band.
In fact, they are from the South. Fairchild from Atlanta, the rest from tiny towns in Arkansas, Alabama, and Georgia. The women in the band, friends from college, put the quartet together, recruiting Jimmy Westbrook and Philip Sweet into a group that owes more to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, or Fleetwood Mac, than to country music's famous vocal groups like the Oak Ridge Boys or Alabama.
When your long day is over and you can barely drag your feet, the weight of the world is on your shoulders.
I know what you need. Bring it on home to me.
That's Bring It On Home from the band's 2nd album. But before that could come to pass, Little Big Town would have to pay the dues it didn't pay the first time around. The debut CD sold only 31,000 copies. They lost their record deal and their tour bus and returned to driving themselves to shows in vans. Sweet and Fairchild each went through divorces, and Kimberly Rhodes' husband, Stephen, the band's first attorney and manager, suffered a fatal heart attack at age 41. Despite all, they swear they never even considered breaking up. Band member Philip Sweet.
I think it came from the beginning of Karen and Kimberly and their friendship and how they carefully selected Jimmy and I to come along for this ride. I think it was the right kind of personalities that in those tough times, we didn't drive wedges against each other. We drew together.
While the band members nursed their personal wounds and returned to parking cars and telemarketing to make ends meet, they found needed help from a songwriter and producer named Wayne Kirkpatrick. He gave them days and days of free studio time. He called in favors from session musicians to make recordings that sounded nothing like the Sony sessions, songs like the dark and moody Bones.
Came from
frustration.
Yeah, we were sitting on the back porch at Wayne's studio,
and Fairchild says they were ready to write about what they'd been through.
It was about the seeds that you sow and what comes back to you, whether it's good or bad. And we were talking to ourselves too. We can either be bitter about things that have happened, or we can sow good seeds and know that it'll come back one day. And we were just venting. We were a little angry that morning.
The labels that had once courted Little Big Town froze them out. One of the only people willing to listen to the new sound was Mike Kraske. Shortly after Little Big Town was dropped from Sony, he was too, a victim of record industry consolidation. He soon joined forces with country star Clint Black to launch Equity Records, a new independent label. The first act he signed was Little Big Town.
And having been complicit in some of those mistakes put me in the position down the road to know the right thing to do. To fix that, I think. So maybe it was a path we were destined to take together so we would do it right the next time.
That they did. The album, The Road to Here, was released in late 2005. And its first single, an ode to small-town life called Boondocks, caught fire on radio.
I feel no shame.
Little Big Town won over the critics as well. One prominent journalist wished in print that he could take back every bad thing he'd ever said about the band. Writer Chris Neal of Country Weekly magazine had a similar reaction.
From the moment I put it on, it was obvious that everything that was wrong with the first album had been made right. That everything they had going for them was right out front now.
The band earned a platinum album for sales that will soon pass the 1 million mark. Billboard magazine awarded them Artist of the Year and Album of the Year honors for independent label releases across all genres of music. This Sunday, Little Big Town will vie for 2 Grammy Awards in the country category, Best Vocal Performance by a Group and Best Album. At present, they are back in the studio, fairly confident that whatever bad luck they're due in their career is most likely behind them. For NPR News, I'm Craig Havinghurst.
You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. 5-car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole.
We'll go fishing in the crawfish
hole.
5-car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. 5-car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.